Blog Talk Radio.
Listeners, and welcome to the latest episode of Movie Boobs, the new podcast dedicated to speculation of both the Academy Awards and box office futures. The BOOB in our title stands for Box Office and Oscar Buzz, as that is what our show is about. I am joined today by my co-host Paul Schmidt and our third boob, Steve Susi. We're going to be talking about this morning's big news in regards to the Oscar nominations and discussing all of that information, as well as maybe discussing some of the possible snubs and things that maybe we were surprised by. How you doing, fellas?
Good here, man.
All righty. Well, for starters, we'll take a look at the nominations for Best Picture and kind of get our thoughts on that. We had 8 movies get nominated for Best Picture this year. They were, we'll start here, excuse me for a second here. We had The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. Perhaps conspicuous by their absences, maybe the snubs here. I think Carol might be the most notable one. I know that Straight Outta Compton was getting some late traction. Of course, Star Wars was a snub, and I know, Seuss, you were kind of hoping for an Inside Out nomination, but didn't really think that would happen, and in true to form, it did not. What do we think about these 8 nominations, fellas?
I guess if you want to look at it this way, those are the 8 movies that really have been in the conversation this whole time. They're the 8 movies that...
Yeah.
There was literally no surprises there, although I have to admit I was personally a little surprised, one, not to see Inside Out get nominated. I sort of thought that was falling into the lot carrot category, and I sort of thought the only question coming into this after hearing the last couple weeks was going to be, was Straight Outta Compton going to get a nomination? And if it did, was it kicking someone else out, or was it going to be the 10th movie? You know, that was really the minor things I was surprised about. If you're going to talk about a snub, like Carol was really surprising to me, not to see that down there. And I have to wonder a little bit if that doesn't hurt any upset chances for Kate Blanchett as well. I mean, that might even mean it's smooth sailing to the win for Brie Larson, like across the board there, but that's further down the road we're going to talk about for sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think for Best Picture, there was no surprises in terms of those that were included. You could maybe make some, you know, arguments that there were some slight eyebrow raises on those that were left out. But I think, I know in our predictions, there were no surprises. I actually had all 8 of these in my list. I also added a 9th in Carol, but that didn't get in. And you guys were right on. I think some of you, Seuss, you put Star Wars on and Inside Out, and they didn't get in. But other than that, there wasn't really much divergence from what was expected here in this category. Do you have any thoughts on it, Seuss?
Well, I mean, I was a little surprised. I guess, I don't know. I expressed my discontent on... I didn't really get all the Mad Max love, but I guess that was a train that wasn't going to be stopped. And by the way, since we had that podcast, I've seen Mad Max, and you've never been more right about a prediction, Paul Schmidt. I did not like that movie at all. So
yeah,
you were right on point. I didn't like anything about it. I don't get it. Okay, and that's fine. I'm used to every once in a while there being a nomination that I just don't get. And in this case, I just don't get it. So we'll just move on. For me, I mean, I felt like if this was, you know, me putting together a list, the clear snub was Inside Out. I'll be honest, I did not, other than for the performances, I have not seen a lot of people banging the drum for Carol as a film. When I hear talk about Carol, I hear talk about Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara, but the actual film itself didn't seem to get a whole lot of love from a lot of people. So I didn't really, I mean, I would have been not floored if it would have been nominated, but since it's not, I'll admit I'm not that astonished by that either.
Yeah, going back to Mad Max, I know I made the comparison. Go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say the thing on Carol was, I think the only thing I sort of thought about why it would get nominated is it wasn't like we were talking about The Apostle, which is the movie I kind of wanted to compare it to because it's such a performance-heavy movie. Robert Duvall stole that movie and should have gotten the Oscar for Best Actor that year. And The Apostle was not thought of much as a film, but he was the dominant force. I sort of thought because it was two characters in this that were, I mean, that was Rooney Mara and Cate Blanchett were a majority of the film. You know, that's sort of why I sort of thought that, well, if you're going to praise more than just your lead actor in this movie, a la like Cate Blanchett and Blue Jasmine, if you want to draw a direct line to her, you know, I really thought that it had to be, if you're going to start lauding more performances than just that, you really have to look at it as a whole performance as opposed to just these people, if that makes sense.
Sure it does. And Seuss, I know we had that conversation, you know, off the air, obviously, about Mad Max, and I compared it to a UFC fight. And I don't know, that's not for everybody, but if you're into UFC and you watch two guys that just punch each other in the face for five-minute rounds, and they're just slugging each other, and it's just a knockdown, drag-out fight with really no defense for five rounds, at the end of it you say, well, that was the greatest fight in UFC history. But really all you saw was just two people that really didn't know when to stop, and they just, there was no relenting, and it was just in your face for the entire time, when a lot of people like more artistic fights. And I think maybe you're a guy that likes more artistic movies, and this was a movie that was just slugging you in the face for 25, or an UFC fight be 25 minutes, but in a movie, obviously 105 minutes. It never stops punching you in the face. And at the end of the movie, some people are like, wow, that was great. And other people are like, I don't like being punched in the face for 105 minutes straight. And I think that's kind of what the Mad Max situation was for me anyway.
That could be. Can I ask a general question to the group?
Yes.
Sure. How many of the eight films have each of the two of you seen?
One.
Okay.
I saw The Martian as well.
I've seen four.
Okay, so this might not be the correct audience for this question right now, but I mean, the thing that struck me as a group here collectively, because I've seen all eight, so is that I think as a whole, this is one of the weaker groups we've seen in a long time. But, I mean, obviously, not having seen all of them, I mean, you guys can't really speak directly to that, but it's, for me personally, I feel like there are a couple of movies on here that in a better year would not even be sniffing a nomination. And there are, as a collective whole, I just think it's overall, it's a pretty weak group.
I sort of think that was something that we talked a little bit about, even dating back to the movie draft involving these movies last August, I believe it was, unless I'm crazy, was just that there was such a wide group and just a swath of, like, if you looked at prediction sites, nobody could agree on anything. And whenever I see something like that, I always think like, oh, this must be a weak group because we're not lucky enough to get 15 movies that are so good that nobody can make up their mind who should be nominated. We're not that lucky. Let's just be perfectly honest.
In a lot of years, I'll put together my list at the end of the year of my favorite movies and such. And I try not to make it a top 10 list because I have a hard time doing that. Usually I'll have 20 movies that I want to put into a list form somehow. And this year, you know, I mean, I've seen probably 120 of the movies from the 2016 Oscar eligible list, and I had a hard time getting to 15. And that's everything. That's indies. That's everything across the board that like I would put on a notable list. So, I mean, I don't want to douse water on anything, but I just generally I'm kind of underwhelmed by this list in its entirety.
Yeah, being out in the boondocks like I am, and working on many Friday nights, and being busy on the weekends with family, I don't see very many movies, but I do sort of soak in all the data that I can in terms of you know, the box office results and what the critics are saying about each movie, and sort of the consensus opinion on them, and I feel it almost helps me in terms of analyzing this sort of thing, because it detaches me from my own opinion, and often my own opinion sucks. So I like kind of being removed from it and then sort of watching it and soaking it on DVD later. But I'll give you this list, Seuss, of the 2011 Best Picture nominations. We had The Winner Was the Artist, The Descendants, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, which was really not very good, The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, which was, I didn't think, a very good movie, Moneyball, a movie I know you guys love, The Tree of Life, and War Horse. Is this list worse than 2011? I don't think it's worse than that, but maybe you could say that this list is the worst one since then.
I think that's fair. I think the one thing that list has that this one doesn't is it has a couple of movies that I found truly offensive. So the 2011, this one does not. So I mean, I'm not going to go into a whole Tree of Life rant here. We've already had one of those, but there are others on that list that I also, oh my gosh, just awful. So I mean,
right.
Yeah, I see your point there, but that's I just think that I mean, so I think that's a fair comparison at the very least.
Can I be perfectly honest?
All right, and I know it's a topic Go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, for me, the best movie on that list, would, I think the one that holds up is The Descendants. And I like that movie probably more than I like almost every movie nominated this year, for what that's worth. So there's two ways to look at that as well.
And it's weird how well Moneyball has held up. Not only is just a baseball movie in general, but just a good movie. And I first watched it, I wasn't overwhelmed. I wasn't underwhelmed. I was kind of whelmed by it. But as I watch it again, I've seen it three or four times now on repeated viewing, and I like it more and more every time. It's held up very well. It's very high on my all-time baseball list, all-time baseball movie list now as well. So that movie is one that surprised me in the end.
It's getting close to Shawshank status with me, which is a personal rule that I have. Whenever I find Shawshank on TV, I have to watch it to its completion, no matter when it is and what time it is. But I find that I stumble across that movie occasionally and find myself doing the same thing, where I will continue to watch it to fruition. And those people that don't know us, listeners, we're obviously all huge baseball fans, so it strikes a chord with us in that vein. But, I agree. It definitely has held water pretty well.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, The Blind Side has the opposite effect. As soon as that movie kicks on, I have to turn it off.
Fair enough. Not arguing with you. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get me started on that. We'll use up the rest of the time.
But it kind of segues a little bit into the next thing I wanted to talk about. I don't want to spend the entire hour talking about this, although I probably could, is the types of movies starring black actors that tend to get nominations are almost exclusively the ones that deal with slavery or racism or biopics. And we had one of those this year that got snubbed, and the Straight Outta Compton. And there is a lot of talk right now about this being the second year in a row that none of the acting categories had any African-American actors being nominated. And also last year, while I believe Selma did get a nomination, this year there are no movies that starred African-American actors in a prominent role that received a nomination. So they're calling it the Whiteout Part 2, I guess, Electric Bugaloo, if you will. Although I guess the break-in movies would be nowhere near the Academy for a number of reasons. But were you guys surprised by the Whiteout? What are our thoughts on this? And I'll give mine a little bit later, and I'll try to keep them brief.
I've got two things that I kind of wanted to say. First off, condolences to all of us for being the only white people in America not nominated for an Oscar today. I was really bummed.
Correct.
I wasn't in any movies, but I sort of thought, they're just handing them out. And this Oscars is so white that Straight Outta Compton did get a nomination today for Best Original Screenplay, and they nominated the white people involved with the movie. It's unreal. It's like, at a certain point, it's like it's almost a parody of itself.
Yeah, it's meta, basically. and here's my take on it. I don't think this is the Academy being, they're grabbing their hoods and walking when they fill out these nomination forms. They're not grabbing their crosses and putting on their hoods and saying we're gonna nominate exclusively white this year. I think the bigger problem we have is in casting, where for whatever reason, African American actors, and there are plenty of good ones. Michael B. Jordan's as hot as you can get right now. There are plenty of other ones, obviously, as well. But they're just not getting these prominent roles. There are plenty of movies where they could have. I don't want to single out any movies that could have cast an African-American in a lead role, but many of them, even that got nominated for Best Picture, were sort of, I guess, racially neutral lead parts, and they all went to whites. And, in fact, if you look back over the years, there are – I can count on one hand the number of Best Picture nominated movies that had what you would consider a racially neutral lead role that was played by an African American. And that's sort of amazing to me. So I think that's an issue that needs to be addressed by somebody somewhere doing something. And I don't have the answer. I don't know what the answer is, but it's not nothing that this is happening. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, I could go for a while on this, and we talked about this briefly today. I don't justify it in any way, shape, or form what the Academy is doing. I just think that the criticism that gets brought on this topic is brought to the wrong party. I don't really think the Academy can do a whole heck of a lot about this. I mean,
right.
they can nominate inferior performances to meet quotas. Does that solve a problem? No.
No.
I mean, let's look at this year's group and say, okay, what do you feel really strongly about that isn't nominated that's by a minority performer? The last time that I can think about I was personally irritated with it was Fruitvale Station, okay?
Uh-huh.
That was the
yeah,
one
uh-huh.
that, the one that set me off. But from this crop, the crop that we had to choose from this year, what do you want them to do? You want to nominate the character that Will Smith was in Concussion just to do it? I mean, that would be an injustice to the other people in the category, in my opinion. I mean,
And it's also an insult to the person getting nominated to get the token.
Yeah.
You don't have a chance in hell of actually winning, but we need to do this,
right.
So we're going to give you the nomination. But like I said, I think the bigger problem is why aren't they being cast in these in prominent roles in better movies that aren't necessarily, hey, I'm black, I suffered racism, give me a nomination. Why can't they just be a dude in a movie that's a good movie and get cast in it?
Why does the Academy take the brunt of this criticism? They're not the ones
They're the easiest target. I'm not disagreeing with you in any way. I think they're the easiest target. It's just easy to look at the nominations and see no black people and say, the people doing the nominating are having the problem. But I think it's indicative of a bigger problem the list of movies for Best Picture that had an African American in a gender, or I shouldn't say gender, a racially neutral lead role are Beast of No Nations, which is kind of, it's racially neutral, I suppose. Shawshank Redemption, again, kind of, maybe, sort of. And Pulp Fiction. And that's the list, unless I'm missing something. And if I am, please let us know through Facebook or any other means.
You just misspoke because you just said Beast of No Nation, and that's not what you meant to say.
Beast of the Southern Wild.
Beast of Southern Wild. I'm sorry. Beast of Southern Wild.
Ding,
yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Sorry,
yeah.
I apologize.
There, yeah. So that's, but that's, I understand where all of this is going, but for me, I just get really aggravated with this whole conversation and where it goes. Where's the person yelling at Harvey Weinstein for green lighting another Ethan Hawke project? I mean, this is where I come from on this. It's like,
to be fair, Ethan Hawke was a thing when Boyhood began filming. He stopped being a thing somewhere within the time frame that Boyhood was done filming. So,
well, I mean,
we have
but
to
it's just,
at least
it's,
give him
that's the genesis of my point. It's the people that are
right.
making decisions in the grounds of these things need to have an adjustment in that opinion. And why we're screaming at Academy voters about this, it seems counterproductive to me. It really does. It's like you can be upset about it. I can be upset about it. It doesn't matter until the decision-making process has changed with people that have absolutely nothing to do with the Academy process. So it's like we're banging our head against the wall, yelling at people that can't control this because, they've made some mistakes. They've made some mistakes with non-minority actors as well, a lot of them. So it's, to me, I mean, with this crop, the crop that we're picking, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but in terms of, well, what belongs? What truly belongs? And I think that list is real short in terms of this year's particular crop. And that's nobody's fault that is discussing this. It's just that's the fact of the matter with this particular year.
And I think there's a further problem from what you're talking about, like, okay, these are the movies that are sort of racially neutral in Shawshank. And, you know, I think probably because, like, let's take a movie like Boyhood and let's say just as a flight of fancy that that's going to be cast with a black man, a black woman, and a black kid, okay? Their child. And then it's a single black mom raising this kid alone. The dad is a dubious character who's around some and isn't really the best influence on the kid. And really, by and large, it's this woman raising this child. Well, I mean, it's difficult to say that that movie would be racially neutral. And yet, do you understand where I'm going with that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because especially when you talk about the plight of the single black mother in America, that's a thing. So I think that movie goes in a different direction. Yes.
Yeah.
You don't make the same movie with that didactic. It's bad. It's bad that that's true, but I think it is a fact of life. I think if you did put those same components in that same situation, factors, once again, beyond whatever you're talking about with the Academy's control, takes that movie in a different direction.
If you study African American literature going back, you know, back even to the earlier 20th century with the Harlem Renaissance, this idea that African American art has to, you know, reflect upon itself and, you know, you have to discuss racism and what it means to be black. Or does it? Why can't you just have art to be art? I don't understand why every movie with an African American lead has to focus on the fact that the lead actor is an African American. Why can't there just be a good movie with a African American lead? Why do the white actors have to get all those parts? I just once want to see a studio take a chance and really push for an Oscar. An African-American actor in a lead role of a movie where it doesn't matter what the race of the actor is. And it would just be nice to see that because we haven't seen it hardly at all ever in the history of movies. And with the last 2 years being clear whiteout in the Oscar nominations, I'm hoping that the discussion at least spurs some action among the studios and the casting directors and the directors themselves, the producers. And in turn, that'll incite the Academy voters into action because it's going to merit it.
There is one point to be made here because you made your caveat about like, well, you know, that wasn't a biopic where the person had to be whatever, right? When you go through the nominations, it's actually like everybody was nominated. It's fairly shocking the number of people that are at least based in either a previous source material or as part of a biography where, yeah, you know what, they're kind of that person already. Like they're just a white person, you know?
Okay, but what about I Am
Legend? It's almost half the nominations, at least half the nominations as I'm looking at it, actually.
Don't do it, Laird. I mean,
you have a character. What's up?
Don't do it. Don't do what you think you're. What I think you're going to do right now.
No, I'm saying if you have a book where the character is white, but the fact that he's white doesn't matter. Why does the character in the movie have to be white? If you look at, and I'm going to do it, Seuss.
Okay.
I Am Legend. That character was a white character played by Will Smith. The movie was not that great, but it wasn't because Will Smith didn't act well in that movie. He didn't have a good performance. He had a great performance. The movie was subpar, and it was what it was. But I don't think you have to stick to having a white character because the source material says the character is white, unless being white is important. And I don't know
Well, she's a real person. I mean, Joy was an actual human being, so yeah, kind of.
Okay, well, I'll give you
that makes a difference.
Okay.
You know, I mean
people
from Spotlight,
they're real
from jobs.
Like Spotlight, they're real reporters as well. But who would care if we portrayed one of the reporters as being African American when he was really white? Would that matter?
Well, have you seen the movie? Yes, it would. I think it would greatly because I think the number of people that we had this discussion earlier this afternoon, and I told him not to do this because. I have a pretty strong opinion on this, actually. I think it affects quite a bit about the movie because many of the reporters that were involved in it were Catholic, based in the Catholic religion in Boston.
Yes.
The story, I mean, all the increments of that story, the underlying elements of it, yes, it's unfortunate, but it's true. These are the reporters in this were struggling with this because they were Catholic raised in Boston in an environment where all of the key components in this were, you can't change the facts, were white people. I mean, that's, so yeah.
Well, and
I think
even,
would,
yeah.
That's where I was.
You know, and then you've got, like, you look at Sylvester Stallone's nomination for Creed. Well, I mean, that's difficult to debate. I mean, he wrote the damn movie and then cast himself in it originally back in the 70s. The Revenant, that even though it's based, I mean, I guess if we wanted to make an argument, The Revenant is probably your number, or The Martian, Matt Damon and The Martian. Those would be your ones where, like, you know what, theoretically you could have changed the race of the people involved here. But
there are,
The Revenant,
there
you're
are
doing
three,
it with.
There are three of the eight that, in my opinion, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, and my point was
Mad Max, The Martian, and Room.
Yeah, mm-hmm. My point wasn't necessarily reticing out the movies, but it was more to just look at the grand picture as a whole. I mean, like I said, there's a handful of movies, if that, that you know, where a black actor has been cast or actress has been cast in the lead of a movie that didn't discuss race or require an African American lead in some other capacity. And that's just to me, everything else stripped away, that is a problem.
I know what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. And I felt you were getting a little off track today. As I thought you were trying to go a little bit too far, to make that point. I agree with the point in principle, but there are just some situations they are what they are. Like for,
you
I,
know,
I like I said,
I, think,
I thought you were going a little too far with Spotlight, and I made that point. I didn't explain my point at the time, but. But I think that some of the realities of what that movie was change if you change that.
I really think what Rob's trying to do there is just find a way to get Mark Ruffalo out of the movie and out of this nomination pool is really
That's
what's
fine.
Happening here.
I accept that. Hashtag Team Ruffalo.
I've been exposed. All right. Let's move on to Best Directing or Best Director. This was interesting to me. That the nominees were Adam McKay for The Big Short, George Miller for Mad Max Fury Road, Alejandro Iñárritu for The Revenant, Lenny Abramson for Room, and Tom Templeton McCarthy for Spotlight. There's a notable exception, I think, here. What do you got? You know who I'm thinking of right here on the exception? or I should say omission.
Yeah, Ridley Scott, obviously.
Yeah, Ridley Scott.
Which am I? I don't know if you wrote down who we said would get nominated. I believe I called that.
No, you left Todd Haynes off, which is correct.
Oh, left Todd Haynes off. That's
on
right.
AJ
yeah.
Abrams, which was incorrect. You put the wrong replacement on there, but Ridley Scott to me was a surprise.
I think I don't know. Like I felt like there'd been waning support for The Martian, and maybe this is an example of that. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it just that's where my feelings are on it. But also, this goes back to this is something I think that Seuss and I have talked about in the past, that it's stupid to argue about directing snubs when you're going to nominate a larger best picture pool than group of directors.
Right.
You know, I mean, three of those guys weren't going to get nominated already,
no matter
right
what.
Off the
yeah.
bat. So, yeah. So, you know,
well, I've talked about
it's hard to say anybody got snubbed.
I've talked about, but and I'll bring it up again. Usually, best director, whoever wins that, it's a good indicator for what's going to win best picture later on in the show. That hasn't necessarily been the case recently. But I will say that it's very rare for a Best Picture win to not have its director nominated at all. I want to say Argo with Ben Affleck. I don't think Ben Affleck was nominated.
Yep.
But that's the only one that I can think
yep.
of. And so I think if there was any, and not that I felt any, but if there was any momentum for The Martian to win Best Picture, that's gone away now. And we can sort of focus our attention to winning Best Picture. Probably we can narrow that down to The Revenant and Spotlight. And maybe add The Big Short because of the nomination for director there. But I think this is a two-horse race now, if it wasn't already.
Just in general about this category, I thought it was an interesting group. My disdain for Mad Max taken aside, I was very interested in the selection of Adam McKay. Norton.
Okay, you're breaking out. Paul, can you hear him, or is it just me?
No, he's disappearing into the ether, as he often
okay,
does.
Okay, good. So, well, he's rambling on about nothing anyway, so we'll move on. No, I'm just kidding. All right, best
actually,
actor.
You know what, I gotta be honest with you. I think he was gonna touch on Adam McKay. I thought that was really cool to see him get nominated, and I think it's really neat when directors grow up a little bit. And
yeah,
I thought
he took some chances
with
that movie. He took
really
some chances.
Visually, I thought that was a really interesting movie as well. So, you know.
Yeah. And a best actor, Seuss went 5 for 5 on here. You and I both went 4 for 5. We missed our fifth. He got the fifth one right. Leo Cranston, Redmayne, and Fassbender, we all had. I had Depp as my number 5. You had, and I'm forgetting his name, but the lead actor for Mr. Holmes, as your number 5, and
yes.
Then Seuss correctly predicted Matt Damon. Okay, that's right. Yep. And so I don't think there was any surprises there. I wanted to put Damon on, but I just didn't go with that, and I backed out and kept Depp on, and I was wrong. So, but there's no surprises there. Actress, looking at the nominations for that, I thought that the Jennifer Lawrence nomination was a little bit surprising, although not blow you over, shocking, but I thought it was a little bit surprising. But Blanchett, Brie Larson, Jennifer Lawrence, Charlotte Rampling for 45 Years, and Saoirse Ronan for Brooklyn are your nominations there. And Carey Mulligan did not get nominated. That was a
yeah.
surprise. We all had Carey Mulligan on our lists, and I think Jennifer Lawrence stole her nomination there.
Well, it's either
actually,
I know Charlotte Rampling
that
was
right.
on a lot
Seuss
of...
Seuss had Seuss went 5 for 5. Seuss went 5 for 5 again in the actress category. So he nailed all 10
yeah.
of the lead acting roles. Helen Mirren did not get the double nomination. She didn't get a single nomination, actually. So that was a little bit, I know, surprising for you. But they
yeah,
left
I thought
that
she was at least going to come away with one of them.
Okay. Moving on, but I don't think there's anything terribly surprising in those lists. Moving on to supporting actor, I thought if there was a case to be made for a single African-American performance It was from Stringer Bell, Idris Elba, in The Beasts of No Nation. That is the correct movie that time, I believe, correct? He did not
yes,
get nominated for that role. I think that was the one performance that I think you can look at and say, okay, that was a snub at the expense of an African-American actor. I don't think it was egregious to the point where we should faint over it, but it is interesting that he did not get that nomination. The ones that did in that category were Christian Bale for The Big Short, which is a little bit of a surprise. Not that surprising, but a little bit. Tom Hardy for The Revenant, again, not terribly surprising, but a little bit. And Mark Ruffalo, Mark Rylance, and Sly. I know we talked about Tom Hardy possibly being a bit of a jerk and nobody liking him, but the voters apparently got over that and voted him in, which is a little bit surprising to me. What did you think?
I was on board with the Hardy nomination. I didn't really think it was going to be, you know, I think I even said I didn't think that was an issue to the people that I know out there. So I was really hoping that the kid from The Room would find a way to get nominated in supporting actor because he's a thing, man. But he it was disappointing to not see him get that nomination.
It's fun when the kid gets nominated.
He acted well beyond his years.
Yeah, it's always
and
fun.
It is.
And
I mean, I think
going back,
it has a fun dimension.
Yep. I know with Sixth Sense and then with Beasts of Southern Wild, you know, you get the little kid getting walked the red carpet and all that stuff, and it kind of adds a little bit of interest to it. You know the kid doesn't have a chance, but you're kind of like, I kind of hope he win it anyway. But
hey, sometimes it happens, Anna. Yeah, 13 when she
okay.
won.
Okay, we're kind of breezing through these. We've kind of all talked about the main points I wanted to talk about. But the supporting actress was Winslet in The Hateful Eight, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Rooney Mara, Alicia Vikander, and Rachel McAdams for Spotlight. And that was another one where we couldn't really figure out how to round out our back half. We got them all between the three of us, but none of us went 5 for 5. Any interesting things there you want to talk about, Paul?
For a movie that, not that it was being panned, but that wasn't getting the Oscar buzz the way it was, I thought it was going to be real easy for the Academy to leave Jennifer Jason Leigh out.
Yeah.
You know, so I was a little surprised to see that happen, even though she had been mentioned quite a bit, honestly.
All right. Okay. So we have roughly 22 minutes left in the show. I think we've Oscared ourselves out in that regard.
I wanted to add.
Yep.
Real quick, because we talked about it in a previous podcast, and I screwed the name of the studio up. A24. You were absolutely right. Not A26. I was looking at the release date of a movie and got confused with my number. Real, real big Oscar season for them, because not only did they put out Room, they've got a Best Picture nomination now in their belt. They also, the one that I actually had sort of forgotten about in my mind, Ex Machina, was another one of A24's movies, and they got a bunch of nominations. So, I mean, that's an up-and-coming studio.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about speculating on a horror movie coming up, I'm telling you, The Witch, it's going to be a thing. I really believe that.
Yeah, Ex Machina had a good day today. They had a good
it really
day
did.
Today for sure. Let's see here. I'm looking through
really
the 2016. Looking through the 2016 release schedule, and I'm trying to see if there's any A24 movies coming out late in the year to maybe tuck away in your far early Oscar contemplations. But I don't see that they've released their schedule for late in the year yet. So then maybe they're still pondering what they have and taking a look at it.
In all honesty, so much of that changes too. You know, it really does. So it's not just,
They have a couple movies coming out soon. So if you're thinking about checking out any A24 movies, as they're on a hot streak right now. In April, they have a movie coming out called Green Room, and I'm trying to check this out right here. Patrick Stewart. I'm not quite sure what this is about, but it's listed as a thriller, an R-rated thriller with Macon Blair, Imogen Poots, I don't know who any of these people are, and Patrick Stewart. I don't know anything about this movie, but I'm just kind of stalling for time here. And then a movie coming out in March called Krisha. It looks like it might be starring John Voight based on the poster here. I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
Okay, well, so that's
but,
kind of terrible. But, you know, not every movie can be a hit. Every movie can be a hit. You know?
I thought maybe I'd get some insight into some possible. But honestly, if you looked at Room at this point last year, you know, you might not have thought anything of that movie either, starring some woman named Brie Larson. You know, we don't know what this movie is.
Exactly.
It comes out of nowhere, and it does really well. I do want to talk about box office real quick. Seuss is trying to get back in, and I'm ignoring him. Let's see here. There we go. Hey, Seuss, you back?
Yes.
Welcome back to the fray. All right. So you missed us kind of breezing through the last, I guess, the back end of the nominations, the best supporting actors categories. And what was sure to be riveting podcast radio upon listen here, but did you have anything about?
Did I get my proper kudos? Did I get my proper kudos for
discuss.
Knocking a lot of things down?
Oh, you did.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You
got your
went 5 for 5 on best actor. You went 5 for 5 on best actress. I do know that, and I know that of the nominations I had, I believe I'm trying to think what the correct number was. I think I had 28 or 29 of the nominations correct. Paul had, I think, 2 behind me, and you were 3 behind, but you skipped director. So I'll take the begrudging win here on the Oscar nomination movie boob contest, the unofficial one. But clearly, in the categories that you did perform in, you nudged me just by one correct nomination. So congratulations there to Steve Soucy on that one.
Victories.
You want to do some gloating?
Victories, victories. What? No, that's okay. I'm used to being right with you two clowns, so I wouldn't expect anything less.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
All right. We do have about 15 minutes left in the broadcast. I want to touch a little bit on the BO portion of our show, that being box office. Right along to. Much discussed movie is coming out this weekend. And the reason I bring this up is because it's looking like it's got the potential to be a $40 million opening weekend in January. And there are not many of these that have ever happened. I think again, it's a number you can count on one hand. Those that have opened to $40 million in January. And, I'll ask this again. Do you think this movie has what it takes to do that this weekend with what else is coming out and what else is in the theaters right now? Is that a no?
Well, this is a weird weekend. No, it wasn't a no, and it's an odd weekend because of all the Best Picture nominees get wider releases coming into the weekend. So that's going to throw a loop into things. All those names are fresh in people's minds, and I think that's sort of why, you know, there's just so many movies in 1,500 plus theaters that I think that's why the $40 million mark is such like a golden thing in January. I do think Right Along 2 gets there, but I think movies like – you're going to see movies like The Revenant, The Hateful Eight might get a bump because of Jennifer Jason Leigh. The Big Short may get another bump. Brooklyn and Spotlight are both going to be in more theaters this weekend as well. So people are going to go see all that. Those, there's a lot of competition for Right Along too, a whole lot of it. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Looking at the numbers,
down.
I'll say this: Right Along One, which came out 2 years ago, opened in 2,600 theaters. And opened to $41 million this very same weekend. Very same situation. Oscar movies had come out, and that's for the 3-day. Obviously, this is a 3-day weekend, 4-day weekend this year. The 41 only counts for the 3-day. And again, if we were to consider Right Along 2 getting a $40 million, we'd only consider the first 3 days. But this year, Right Along 2, the second one, opens in 3,100 theaters. So 500 more theaters are going to hold this in the first one. It's also got the momentum of the first one coming out. And as we talked about earlier, perhaps a less than stellar Oscar field of movies to compete with. I think it's actually a better situation than the first one had 2 years ago. I think it beats the first one. The first one's $41 million total, but barely. What I also think, though, is that it won't hold up as well. The first one made about 3.5 times its opening weekend for its whole run, ended with 135. I think Ride Along 2 get that first weekend crush, finish somewhere between 40 and 45, and then peter out and end in the low 100s. That's my prediction for this movie. Any other thoughts on the movies coming out this weekend? We have 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, and Norm of the North, an animated movie from Lionsgate, which tend not to do well in the theaters, those animated movies from Lionsgate. Do we have any opinions on those?
Have you even seen a television preview to that yet? I haven't seen anything on TV. You have seen one?
Yeah, I've seen it. And it just looks,
I saw one.
Okay. It strikes me as being very Shaun of the Sheepish, you know? Like, you know, kind of in that goofy animation, or like Nut Jobish, where it's just a January animated movie that sucks, you know.
Careful with Shaun of the Sheep there. Shaun of the Sheep got nominated for an Academy Award today, so.
Yeah, but it didn't appeal to the kids, is what I mean. Like, it's an animated movie that's not going to make any money, is what I mean by that.
Gotcha.
And maybe
gotcha.
The better comp is, maybe I think better comp is Nut Job. I think this is going to fall along that same sort of line that Nut Job did, and I'm looking that movie up right now. That movie opened to $19 million and finished 64. Ugh, that's better than I thought it did, and it came out this very same weekend 2 years ago. So I mean, that's a really good comparison then. Same weekend, you know, animated movie that looks pretty terrible. $19 million might be generous. I'll put this one in the 10 to 12 range for its opening weekend. I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence in this movie.
I would be surprised if it did half that, to be perfectly honest. I just don't think it's in
looking,
people's consciousness right now.
Let me see. It's going to 2,400 screens. The Nut Job, when it came out, went to 3,400 screens. So that would certainly indicate that it's not going to perform as well as the Nut Job did, just based on the screens it's going to. Let's see here. What else?
Something that our listeners don't know, Rob Laird is somebody who is famous for posting exceptionally vitriolic movie reviews to our league page. Yes. And he's like a bloodhound sniffing these things out, and he compiles the best quotes from all the bad reviews and then urges, hey, everybody, go see Movie X, whatever. I'm expecting and hopeful we're going to see one for 13 Hours this weekend, because there's been some really awful things said about that movie coming into this weekend. Now, it's not getting universally bad reviews, but the people who don't like it really, really don't like it. So I'm interested to see if you put one together for that this weekend.
Well, my policy for that is it's got to have a red tag on Metacritic. And then you're right. I will take the worst things that each critic has to say and put them in what you would consider to be like a blurb package that you might see on a poster for a movie, where it talks about how great the movie is. And then it gives all the great reviews, and then I just do the ones with the terrible reviews. And I don't get fancy with it and create a poster or anything like that. But I have to. My policy is, if it gets a red tag on Metacritic.com, it gets the bad movie blurb experience. I've been slacking on that lately, but just looking at Metacritic.com now, Norm of the North has a 21 on Metacritic. The Forest has a 34. The Masked Saint, which did not open wide, and I did drop it in our movie league, and it did open very poorly, that has a 21. And Point Break, the Pointless remake of that movie, that has a 34 as well. So there's plenty of movies on Metacritic right now that should be getting the bad movie blurb treatment. But this is January. This is bad movie month, and we're kind of slogging through it, you know, getting our Oscar movies viewed as we can, and you know, just kind of slogging through the bad new releases. And right now, there's plenty of them to go around. But looking ahead, let's check HSX.com. And let's see if there's been any movement up or down in the big blockbusters that are coming out. I know we're always keeping an eye on Deadpool because it just seems like week to week that movie is hot or cold based on its trending nature on HSX.com. Right now, it is dropping a little bit. It's down to 116 on HSX. While Zoolander 2 is trending upwards in their head-to-head battle, which is going to come up on St. Valentine's Day weekend. You know, did you see the Deadpool poster, the billboard that was
Absolutely.
That was put up?
Big fan.
With the emoji?
No. Anytime you can use a poo emoji, I'm a fan.
Wait,
I looked at that poster for a good 5 minutes, and I had no idea what the heck it was trying to say.
You need to get more in touch with your inner 10-year-old, dude. I nailed that son of a bitch.
My emoji game is weak. I don't have strong emoji
dude,
game.
I was all over first, that. I had that. I locked that down.
Yeah, the
Hold
skull
on, I'm actually
for dead.
Google, I'm Google searching poo. Deadpool.
The poo. And then the letter L. I kept that letter L on the end threw me off. I thought it was trying to be like with the three things and the L at the end. I was thinking it's supposed to be some weird way of saying LOL, and I didn't know what that meant. And so it blew my mind. I had to read the comments, and then I felt like an idiot once I figured it out. But I
wow,
usually
that's really
come
good.
On, man, step it up.
That's really
all right.
Good. I'm looking at it now.
The. Interesting thing, as we talked about last week really briefly, the Hail Caesar movie, the Coen Brothers movie coming out February 5th, that's been trending upwards since last we talked, and it's already up to $45 on HSX, or just short of $45. It was only at $38 last week, so it's starting to gain some momentum. I did see the trailer for it, Seuss, and you were right. I didn't know what the heck they were going for, but it looked like it might be fun, but not necessarily funny.
Set a reasonable line, and I'll take the under. And I don't. I actually don't even care what the number is. I mean, set a reasonable line. I'll take
the
under. Whatever it is.
For its whole?
What total open weekend? Opening? Either one. Set me a reasonable line. I'll take the under.
Well, if it's at 45, then I would say a reasonable thing to do would be divide that by 3. So I'll set the opening weekend at 15.
I'll take the under.
Under? Okay. I don't know what we're betting for, but it's a bet we're on. I'm saying Hail Caesar will surpass 15
Put it
opening
on the
weekend.
Board.
It's going to be competing with Kung Fu Panda's second week, and I'm telling you that the trailers for that Kung Fu Panda movie look just terrible. That movie is trending upwards very quickly on HSX. It actually gained $1.50 today. It's up to $1.30. I don't see that happening at all. I don't know what the point of this third movie is. He's training other pandas. I don't know. It looks
dude,
bad.
You're missing the point.
What's
there
the
are
point?
A lot of there are a lot say. Of people. There are a lot of people that do not look at any sort of. Well, I wonder if this animated movie is going to be good. I can shut my kid up for 90 minutes. Let's go.
But here's the thing. I think.
It's a different
animal.
Don't you
have to be a fan of the franchise to want to go see 3? Would you go see 3 if you hadn't seen 1 and 2?
Are you actually asking if I take my 6-year-old, my 4-year-old, if they're going to be canonically confused because they didn't see Kung Fu Panda 1 and 2, they're not going to figure out what's going on in 3? Is this what you're actually saying?
Because here's the thing. I only take my kids to so many movies a year. Like I have to save up. You know,
sure.
It's like, all right. You know, so am I going to waste one of my movie experiences on a movie that I'm not sure they're going to want to see or have a desire to see?
I don't know, man.
The kids that were 8 years old when Kung Fu Panda 1 came out are now like close to 18 years old now. They're not going to go see it.
Well, you don't take them.
And it's not like Toy Story, where the story is sort of timeless and everybody enjoys it, I think enough bad vibes were given out with the second one that was so bad. I just think this doesn't make even 100. I think it just farts out completely.
I'll take over on the 100.
You'll take what about somebody set the line on the opening weekend and I'll see if and I'll take the over under on that. Is somebody going to bet 33 million opening weekend? Somebody sets 33 million opening weekend as the line. I'll take the under.
Over.
See, I think the other way about this. I think those movies usually have legs, so I don't worry that much about opening weekend when it comes to the overall picture for them. But I think it goes over 100. Easily. I don't even think I'm worrying about it.
I'll say I don't think it makes 33 opening weekend, and therefore I don't think it makes 100 overall. So we'll make an imaginary bet on that one as well. Kung Fu Panda under 100 for its haul, and Hail Caesar, I'm taking the over 15 on its opening weekend. We'll see how we do there. But, man, I was just so uninspired by that trailer for Kung Fu Panda 3. Usually you get a feeling for your kids that they're interested in a movie or not.
You are like my not kids their went, audience.
Well, I'll say this.
He's got
my
like
kids
42
went bonkers
kids.
For
he is
Lego.
Their audience.
Like when Lego Movie came out and that trailer came out, my kids went bananas for it. And I knew, okay, this movie's going to make a ton of money.
Well, yeah, that's
a
different animal.
I don't know. Let's see. What else is coming out?
It's
going to
be terrible.
Time
it's
going to
make money.
Just. All right. Let's see, how much time do we have left in here? I think we've pretty
much
exhausted all the reasonable conversation, and rather than talk about nothing for 3 minutes, I will go ahead and cut this show a few minutes short. But we will be talking more Oscars as the big day approaches, and then also be talking more about the summer movies as it gets closer to summer blockbuster season. So we will say goodbye for now, and probably until next weekend, maybe next Saturday, we'll have our next episode and be discussing more maybe Batman and Superman talk, more Oscar talk, and look at what Ride Along 2 has done so far. So for my third group, our third group, Steve Soucy, and my co-host Paul Schmidt, I am Rob Laird, and we are the Movie Boobs. If you have any questions for us as a show, please feel free to email us at movieboobs.mail.com, movieboobs.mail.com, or join our group at facebook.com/groups/movieboobs, and we will see you next week.